I neglected to remind you earlier, tonight we'll have Royal City in concert. That begins at 6, and we will be receiving a love offering for them. You'll want to be here and be a part of that. So, today and next Sunday, I want us to think about Jesus, people, and the Bible. There's a lot of discussion as to what it is. It's really very simple. It's the Word of God. It's not appropriate to say that it contains the Word of God, and it's not appropriate to say that it's part of the Word of God. If we say that it contains the Word of God, that gives us room to say it also contains other things, which it does not. If we say it's part of the Word of God, then that gives room for others to come along and say, this is in addition to the Bible. That doesn't work either. So for us to be on the same footing, we have to agree that the Bible is the inspired Word of God in its totality, and that it is the complete Word of God. And if we don't agree on that, then we don't have common ground in anything we do or any communication we make with other people. When we talk with people who do not believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, we have no common ground to work with at all. But as believers, we believe that it is the Word of God. And so as we begin today, I want us to think about internalizing the Word of God. And I know that there are many descriptions that fit the Word of God. We're not going to go to all of those. We'll talk about two or three of them and then move on. First of all, I want us to be reminded that it is described as light. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Word of God illumines or lights up the pathway that we walk on through this life. That's not hard for us to understand. Now, why do you turn lights on when it gets dark? Well, I turn them on because I don't like sore toes and broken toes and things of that nature when I kick something that doesn't want to move when I'm walking around in the dark. I also turn them on so that you wouldn't believe, for two old people with no kids living at home, how many toys are in the floor of my house. I think the dog and the cat have more than the kids had. And I could teach them to pick them up and put them away most of the time, but not the dog and the cat. And so I turn the lights on so that when I'm walking around, I don't trip over one of those things and bloody my nose. And we need the light of the Word of God to help us safely journey through the path of life that God has placed us on. There are all kinds of things for us to trip on as we live this life. There are all kinds of things for us to bump into in this dark, sinful world that could cause us damage and pain and anguish that we could do totally without and avoid completely if we are just applying the Word of God to our lives. It is a light unto our path. It is described also as a sword. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and the spirit and joints and of the marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." Ephesians 6:17 says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The word of God described as a sword. That means that it is getting dark in here. Wow. That means that the word of God becomes a weapon in our hands. Now, that can be good or that can be bad. It is not a weapon, and I want you to get this. It is not a weapon for us to use to cut each other up with. And we're famous for doing that. We're famous for taking the word of God and slashing at other believers because they say something different than we think. And we want to cut them down. We want to cut them down mostly because we're arrogant and they don't agree with us. It also is not a weapon for us to use to slash away at non-believers. I always get nervous when somebody calls me on the phone or sends me a text or email and says, "Preacher, where is that verse of scripture that says something about..." And you fill in the blank. Used to be, many years ago, I would diligently search and find what I thought was what they were looking for and give it back to them. I don't do that anymore. The first question I ask when I get that inquiry is, "Why? Why do you want to know this?" Because unfortunately, quite often, they want to know where that is so they can take that sword and go to their husband or their son or their daughter or their neighbor or somebody else in the church and say, "See? I tried to tell you what God said." You see this? Bang! So, if their reply to me is, "Well, so-and-so said so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so," I said, "Don't worry about it. You don't need to use it as a weapon against them." Now, if they have an honest inquiry because of things that are happening in their lives, and it's not due to conflict with somebody else, then I'll help them find it. But I'm not going to put a sword in your hands to go slash up your spouse. That's not how we live together. You see, the Bible is a sword. It is a weapon for us to use, but primarily it is a weapon for us to use in our stand against Satan and his legions. That makes it for us, in the most part, a defensive weapon rather than an offensive weapon. Now, there are times when the Bible becomes an offensive weapon. And it becomes an offensive weapon most often when it is in the hand of God the Father. As he takes the word of God and tries to slash through my coldness and my bitterness and my angers and my disobedience and my waywardness, as he tries to cut through this rock that I have built up and let grow inside of me so that I might become more like Jesus. Then we find that the Bible is described as spiritual food. Okay, got your attention? Talking about food now. We wake right up. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Psalm 119:103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Let me ask you a quick question. Is that big enough to see? Those of you in the back, can you see the script? Okay. I want to make sure I'm not making them too small. So we look at the Word of God as spiritual food. The Word of God becomes nourishment to our soul, nourishment to our spirit. It strengthens us and encourages us. In the Bible, we find joy and we find the delight of heart and we find the lifting of our spirit and the lifting of our load. We find instruction and we find challenge and we find all forms of spiritual nutrition. And in the Bible, we find the sweetness of God's love. No better place to find the sweetness of God's love than in 1 John 2:1, as we get the picture of God the Father sitting on the throne. And he says, my little children, I write these things that you sin not. My little children, as the Father just reaches out to embrace and to hold. Now, as we think about internalizing the word, I want us to briefly look at six ways in order to do this. The first would be for us to hear the word of faith, the word for faith. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You know, in order for us to believe something, we first must be exposed to a teaching about that truth. In order for us to believe any truth, we have to be exposed to some teachings about it. We do not believe a concept unless someone else has first taught us or explained to us what this concept is. And so, in order for you to believe that God loves you enough to send his son to die on a cross that you might be saved, somebody has to tell you about that. You're just not going to know that automatically. Yes, there is a longing in our spirit that God has placed there from the very beginning, that we would have an emptiness without Him. But you're not going to know how to fill that emptiness unless somebody tells you about Jesus Christ. I remember the first person that ever told me about Jesus. Her name was Ruth Williams, and I was 8 years old, and she must have been 200. At least that's what she looked like to an 8 year old. And every Saturday morning, she would leave her house a block away from the local church, and she would drive 5 miles out to the farm where we lived, and she would pick me up in her car and have me back at that church by 10 o'clock so that I could go to the youth choir practice. And then after we were done there, I would walk the block from the church to her home where she would fix me lunch. And she would put on spiritual music on the old record player, the big old 78 RPM things. She had a stack of those things. I don't remember what any of them were except one song. The first song with spiritual intent that I ever remember hearing was in her home as she played that big old record and George Beverly Shea would sing, "I'd Rather Have Jesus." And no matter how long I was in her home, every Saturday she'd make sure I heard that song. And then as we drove back the 5 miles to the farm, she would talk to me about Jesus. Planting seeds. Dropping breadcrumbs along the way. If it's true that we must hear the Word of God to be able to have faith, then those of us who have that Word within us must be about the business of sharing that Word. One of the reasons, guys, that it is so important for us to be in a Bible-teaching church and to be there with some regularity is because the more and more God's Word is spoken and read to us, the more and more it is made known and it is explained to us, the more and more we hear God's Word, the more and more we grow in our faith. The more I learn about who God is and what God does, the more I love Him and the more I trust Him. You see? So we should hear the Word for faith. We should read the Word for fellowship. 1 John 1:3, "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Luke 24:32 says, "They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us on the road, while He opened to us the Scriptures?" And 1 Corinthians 1:9, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." I briefly mentioned fellowship last week as one of the functions of the church. And we said that fellowship was doing life together with other Jesus followers in the church body. Remember that? That means caring for, walking shoulder to shoulder with other believers, just being together and doing life together. I want you to understand that we will only have true fellowship with Jesus people if we have fellowship with Him. We won't have fellowship with His people without first having fellowship with Jesus Christ. Our fellowship with each other is a result. We have that vertical relationship and then the horizontal relationship. And if it is true that in order for us to have fellowship one with the other, we need to be doing life together, then in order for us to have fellowship with God, we need to be doing life with God. And if we're going to do life with God, we have to be reading the Word so that we know how to do that. In order for us to have a relation or have fellowship with God, we must be in relationship with Him. And one of the ways to strengthen and grow and cement that relationship is to be doing life with God. And doing life with God always starts with what His Word says. You see, we don't even come to be a part of the family of God unless somebody tells us about His Word, which tells us about Jesus who died for me. Yes. Then we should not only hear the Word and read the Word, but we should study the Word for knowledge. You know, there's a vast difference between reading something and studying it. I used to read textbooks in school. That's why I didn't do very well on exams. I didn't study a whole lot. I read. But we should study the Word of God for knowledge. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always." Catch this. "Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." When somebody looks at you and says, "How come?" You need to be able to share the Word of God back to them and say, "This is how come." And you can't do that by a casual reading. You have to get into the Word and study the Word and see how it fits in life. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved and a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." King James Version says, "Study to show thyself approved." Study the word of God. And it tells us why. One of the ways for us to honor and to please God is to deal appropriately with the Word of God. Oh, there we go back to where we started. It's not a slasher. It's not a hammer. Ellen, come up here. I'll beat you over the head with it. We do that, you know. We study the Word of God so that we can appropriately handle it. That means we study the Word of God so that we can know enough about it to make the proper application of the Word of God in my life and in my life situation. You know, too many people want to be familiar enough with the Word of God to go to church on Sundays and to hear a little bit about what's being said and know where the index is so they can find the place that the preacher is talking about and that be it and then go home. And from noon Sunday until 11 o'clock the next Sunday, they never think about how this fits into the situation I'm living today. How does the Word of God speak to the need that I have right now? They don't even realize that it does speak to the need that they have right now. But we should study the Word of God so that we can properly handle it, appropriately use it in our life. And that only happens when we spend time studying. And then, oh, come on now. Then, if we're going to internalize the Word of God, we need to memorize it for effectiveness. Now, I know what you're going to say. I'm too old. I can't memorize nothing. Well, it may not be as easy to memorize as it once was. But if we memorized it years ago and properly handled it in our lives, we'd still have it committed to memory. We need to memorize it. Psalm 119:11. I have what? Stored up or committed your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Wow. The Bible says that if I get enough of the Word of God locked up inside of me, that it's readily available, then it helps me not to sin when temptation comes my way. If God's Word is only in a man's Bible and is not also in his heart, he will soon be surprised at just how easily he falls into sin. You know that? If the only thing of God's Word that I have is between this cover and this cover, and I don't have any or much of it stored up in my heart and my mind, when temptation comes my way, which it's going to do, I don't have any resources to yank out and use as defensive weapons against the enemy that's trying to destroy me. I don't have the sword with me. Now, with your electronic devices, all of you that have smartphones, I hope you have a Bible app on there. If you don't, talk to me and I'll show you how to do that. But even with the Bible app in your pocket, you often will not go to it just for the need to fight temptation. Memorize the Word of God. Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says, "And these words that I commanded you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We try to use the Word of God in all kinds of situations, but in order to effectively do that, we have to know it. Or at least substantial portions of it. And then we should meditate on the Word of God for understanding. Yes. Yes. Psalm 119, 15 and 16 says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And in 104:34 it says, may my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Meditation. Boy, it is a very, very important time. And in meditation, we then are positioned to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our heart and speak to our mind concerning a particular passage and how God wants to apply that particular truth to my life right now. Yes. Amen. Meditation. Getting still with God. Considering the text that you're reading, mulling it over in your mind, asking God for illumination, being still long enough for him to begin to speak to your heart, and he will. And he will reveal to you truth. And in that truth, he will reveal to you direction or encouragement or challenge or chastisement. Yeah, that too. We need to meditate on God's word for understanding. And the sixth thing that we need to do is to apply the Word of God for godly living. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. I think one of the things that we need to remember, ladies and gentlemen, is that we are not created for time, but we are created for eternity. Time is just a very small slice of our existence. Time begins for us when we are conceived and then born. And time ends when the heart and the kidneys and the lungs and all the rest of this stuff stops working and God removes the spirit of life from our body. Time ends, but I don't. And when time for me ends, then I am in eternity future, which then becomes eternity present. And God did not create me, and God did not create you so that you would live in this body for a few years. And then come to an end. And be no more. But God created you and me So that we might have an ongoing, eternal, forever love relationship with Him. That far exceeds the limits of time. And when we begin to understand that God created us for eternity rather than for time, we begin to be able to live better in view of eternity and not limited to today. We begin not to put near as much stress and near as much worry and near as much focus on today. Because at the stroke of midnight, today is done, gone. But eternity keeps right on going. And at the stroke of midnight, if my body quits with the day, the body's gone. But I keep right on going for eternity. Yes. The problems of today, the heartaches of today, may last for tomorrow and maybe numerous tomorrows, but they will not last into eternity. They will not. However, the joy of today and the peace of today, even though it may be disrupted tomorrow, will last through eternity. Titus 3:14 says, "And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful." And James 4:17 says, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." How am I going to know the right thing to do? I'm going to hear and read and study and meditate on and apply the Word of God to my life. We cannot be saved, folks, without hearing from the Word of God. And once we are born again, we cannot grow up without the Word of God. And in all of life's days, in all of life's situations, in all of life's junk, we cannot have victory unless we apply the Word of God to our lives. Amen. Paul wrote to the young preacher in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, he says this, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Cherish His Word. Know His Word. Speak His Word. and watch it transform your life and the lives of those you come in contact with. Amen. And if you are to the place of saying to someone, God's word says, please make sure it says that. Don't tell them it says something that's not quite that way. Make sure it says, that's what it says. You know, the Bible says cleanliness is next to godliness. No, it don't. It ain't there. It just ain't there. Listen. Politics is all the thing. But you know what? Not going to be politics in eternity. Nobody's going to be running for any office. Nobody going to be running for any office. No TV commercials bashing the other one. But the Word of God is going to live on and on and on. And we get amazed at how we see the Word of God unfold and revealed in this life. You just wait till we cross over that river as we see it all just laid out exactly the way Daddy said it was going to be. Know the Word, study the Word, love the Word, share the Word. Pray with me. Father, thank you again for this day, for the time that we can share together. Thank you for your word, which indeed is as quick as a two-edged sword. Help us to apply the word. Help us to use the word the way you intend for us to use. Help us to love the word. And God, continue to grow us up because of our knowledge of the word. In Jesus' name, amen.